Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, it's Blair Harris here on the Panther Rants podcast. It's Wednesday evening here. Or no, not really Wednesday evening. It's actually technically 4 o'clock, so not really evening. I gotta leave here and get my kids. But I figured I would podcast now because I took a sick day today and I'm losing my voice. Obviously, this up and down Texas weather isn't helping much. Well, because, yeah, one day it's really cold, one day it's mild, one day it's hot. And it just freaking, I guess you say, quote unquote, fluctuates. I guess it's one of those new fancy words. Anyways, guys. Starting off today, Pitt basketball has been on a tear. They had a really great start. They finally met their destiny by losing last night. And eventually the losses were going to come and but they start off the year winning their first winning their first 6 games. And they almost won one more last night when they played at Iowa. And I wasn't ranked in the top 15. They're obviously got a lot more size than us, more experience, more physical. But Pitt, being as young as they are, I mean, they have one seasoned guy, and that's Jared Wilson Frame. He was out for most of the first half due to foul trouble, but Pitt hung in there and almost pulled off the win. There were times when I watched that game where I thought that maybe Pitt was going to just wear down and lose, and they just kept fighting back. They were scrappy. Playing good defense, and at times Iowa couldn't match their athleticism because, you know, at times Pitt was too quick. I thought, you know, Xavier Johnson should drove to the hole a lot more because I don't think they had really any answer for him when he was in the paint. He was just killing them. But also the refs did let Iowa play, and of course, you know, Iowa went to line a lot more than we did. But I'm not sure how that helps for Iowa later in the year. I'm sure they will contend in the Big Ten. But when tournament time comes, they're going to be dealing with officiating crews that they're not going to let them play. And, of course, their coach will start screaming a lot more because that's all he did last night. Pitt has Duquesne this Friday coming up. Big city game because you have Duquesne that's on the up and up. Or at least that's what we keep hearing. Duquesne's lone loss this year was to Notre Dame. They've beat everybody else on their schedule. But they really haven't really played anybody at this point. But that's kind of what happened last year with them. They racked up a lot of wins over bad teams. And, of course, as the season went on, they came down to earth a little bit and but obviously, this is big for Duquesne regardless because Danforth's trying to get this program up and they're putting money into the A.J. Palumbo Center. They're putting money into their facilities. They're actually investing into basketball, which is probably long overdue. I mean, they tried in the past, but it hasn't really worked out for them. I mean, they had one really good coach, Everhart, and they fired him after having a winning record. I mean, the guy. Not too long before that, he was within the game of going into the NCAA tournament. So obviously this is a big game for them because it's a measuring stick of where they need to be. I mean, I like Pitt's chances in this game. Personally, I think it Jeff Capel really upgrade the talent here, and also in a short span of time, and also the players are playing a lot harder. But I still think the game will be a dogfight because it always is, and you know Kevin Stallings obviously made this game relevant again. Although Pitt won last year with a really bad squad, but this year is you know it's big for both teams. So what should they keep? Stay on track and staying pissed on Pitt basketball because, especially on this podcast, because I do a lot of football talk and Pitt hoops is coming. You know, Pitt basketball, Pitt football will be coming to an end here pretty soon after Saturday, pending the bowl game. Speaking of this week, it's championship weekend where Clemson and Pitt. Co-ACC conference champions battle for a bid to the college football playoff. Clemson wins, they get auto bid into the playoffs. They lose as an at large. Pitt, well, they're not going to go either way. It just depends on what kind of bowl they get. Yeah, I know. This really does determine who the true champion is. I just like to do the whole co-conference thing because it's hilarious. Because why not? Anyways, as far as this game's concerned, I've watched some of Clemson's games, and I've done some research on them, and really there's no glaring weakness in them whatsoever. They're in the top 10 in pass, they're top 10 in total offense, top 10 in total defense. Pass and rush offense, they're literally not. I think actually the rushing offense are in top 10. Pass offense are top 25. So, Pitt obviously is going to have, regardless, Pitt obviously is going to have their work cut out for them. Now, not too long ago, Pitt did defeat Clemson. And that's because we had, well, a fifth year quarterback in Nathan Peterman. We had a really good offensive line. We had James Conner. And we had some really good players. We had, you know, obviously, Scott Orndorff was a huge thing. We had George Ashton, who's still here now. But the offense is a little different. And we have a different quarterback. And Clemson obviously doesn't have Deshaun Watson anymore, but they have Trevor Lawrence and a loaded team. So, what are Pitt's chances in this game? Pretty much you can say no chance in hell. That doesn't mean Pitt can't give Clemson a dogfight. They could. How is that supposed to happen? Well, a few things. Defensively, Pitt's going to have to get pressure on Trevor Lawrence. If they can do it. Because you can't let him have time to throw because he's got really good receivers. Hunter Renfrow is still there, and Hunter Renfrow just does Hunter Renfrow things. He's a hell of a guy in the slot, and Pitt's got a hell of a time covering him. Pitt's got to get pressure on the quarterback is what really needs to happen. Now, if you look at the Miami game, save for the punt return TD, it wasn't really that bad of a game. Miami just had a really good defense, and Pitt had no answer for it. And this is a good defense here, so Pitt really needs to have an answer for them this time. I mean, no pussyfooting around. Find a damn answer. Figure something out. Because obviously we didn't do that last week. But looking at Clemson's team and some of their games, Pitt's going to have to throw the football if they're going to have any success because that's what South Carolina did. South Carolina had two drives and on fourth and goal. So South Carolina actually ran with Clemson for most of the game. They just couldn't put the ball in the end zone. And that's what has to happen here for Pitt. Pitt has to throw the ball and get a passing game going. Because if you look at what happened with Pitt and Clemson last time, one thing that really helped Pitt last time was their ability to move the football through the air. A lot of plays Pitt made was through the passing game. You know that little little route to James Conner for the touchdown, the fourth down pass to George Aston in the end zone, the pass to Scott Orndorff that set the field goal. Pitt has to throw the ball. Running obviously is going to help too, but Clemson has a hell of a run defense. But if you get throw the football, it's gonna open things up like it did in that game against Clemson, where Pitt won a high scoring affair. So basically, Pitt's got to come to play. That's the most part. Because here's the thing. Clemson's defense is similar to Miami's. The only difference is Clemson has an offense. So Pitt's got to do something here. They got to put the big boy pants on, do something, figure it out, do whatever. But don't humiliate yourself in this game. Don't get yourselves humiliated because, up until then I've been saying that the race in the ACC Coastal was just a race to see who's going to get destroyed by Clemson in the title game. Well, here's Pitt right now in that position right now. And you don't want to be in a position where you're going to be destroyed. I mean, I don't see us winning this game because I don't think the ACC is going to let us win this game for the most part. It would just be a horrible look. Because I don't think they'll get in. But there's some interesting scenarios that we're going to get into here. Well, Friday night we got Utah and Washington squaring off in the Pac-12 title. Washington had a pretty disappointing season for the most part. And, I thought that this was going to be the year for Chris Peterson. And they lost to a really bad Auburn team. Auburn was good in the preseason, but now it's looking like Gus Malzahn is looking to get out. But I think they're stuck with him for another year because of his buyout. Right now is at $12 million. So it's going to be pretty expensive to replace him. So I think he'd probably give us on another year. Let's see what goes on there. But Utah, it's obviously you've been Utah. They're not the same Utah that we remember in the BCS games. They won two BCS bowl games. They beat us. I think they beat Ohio State or Bama, one of the two. I don't think it was either one, but they beat somebody in another bowl game for BCS. Urban Meyer was the coach at Utah when we played them. And he's moved on, and of course Utah's the program's moved on since then. And of course now here they are in the big Pac-12 championship game. So with Utah, there really hasn't been much of a drop-off since they went to a bigger conference. Texas and Oklahoma. I think this time around, Oklahoma is not going to let Texas hang around, and they're obviously not going to let Texas get the last laugh again. Because that's what happened. But the only way they're going to do this is that they have to play defense. I mean, God forbid, play some defense, because you had a high-scoring affair against West Virginia to get you here. And this game against Texas, last time he played, was a high-scoring affair. And it ended up being who would get the ball last. And Texas got the ball last and moved the ball down the field and hit a long field goal. So Oklahoma really can't put themselves in this position anymore. They got to get out and they got to win because a playoff spot's on the line. So that'll be an interesting game. Iowa State's playing Drake in the final game of the year, and I just don't understand this whatsoever, but I guess there's a bunch of makeup games here. Well, yeah, because I didn't factor in the top 25, but which we'll do here in a minute. Yeah, it looks like there's a bunch of makeup games. We got Louisiana Appalachian State playing. Appalachian State, remember that team that barely beat Penn State? 9-2, 7-1 in the Sun Belt. And actually, this is the Sun Belt title game. So Appalachian State's had a hell of a year. So I think they probably win that one. East Carolina, NC State, a makeup game. I'm not sure, you know, I guess from the hurricane. NC State sucks. Well, not NC State. East Carolina sucks, so I see NC State going to a 9 wins there. Akron and South Carolina, obvious win for South Carolina. They're gonna get 7 wins. Akron just isn't, they're just a MAC team. Marshall and Va Tech. Marshall's 8-3, going against a 5-6 Virginia Tech team. Tech beat Virginia, and then they decided, obviously, they wanted to make up this game. So they can try to get bowl eligible. I hate it, but it is what it is. You know, if you can get a bowl game, get a bowl game, and you send your seniors off with something. And I'm guessing it helps recruiting somehow, but I don't know how it does, because Vatek was once a very proud program and that, you know, built itself on Beamer ball, but it's not looking too good. Conference USA title game, UAB and Middle Tennessee. Think about this. UAB, University of Alabama, Birmingham, not too long ago, was disbanded as a program. Now they're back in their Conference USA title game. I mean, good for them. That's an awesome story. That's a story people should be talking about. Is that right there? So best of luck to them. I didn't realize they were moving along this pretty well in Conference USA since coming back. Oh, the Stanford and Cal rivalry. Both teams had high hopes this year. I know Stanford did, but Stanford was disappointing this year. But I see them pulling this one off. Memphis and UCF. UCF is without their quarterback because he got hurt, and Lord knows if he's ever going to play again, which is terrible. Last time they played Memphis, they barely won, and I think Memphis takes care of business this time around. I mean, I think, you know, Central Florida will get the emotional factor going, trying to win one for the quarterback, but I think Memphis this time really takes care of business and ends the streak for Central Florida. Now, here's an interesting one here. Alabama and Georgia. Alabama's ranked first overall, and Georgia's ranked fourth. Now, Georgia's ranked fourth in the conference. I mean, not in the conference. They're ranked fourth in the college football playoff rankings. So, 1-4. Bama wins, they're in, obviously. But if Georgia wins, what happens here? We may be left with another issue where we have two SEC teams in the playoff. But Georgia's a little different this time around. They're not really that good as they were last year. So does Bama lay down to get another SEC team in? Because they do that, and it provides an interesting matchup. Well, Georgia obviously moves to the 2 or 3 spot, and they face whoever from the probably either Notre Dame or Clemson. And you hope, in Bama's mind, you hope they take one of those teams out. And then maybe Bama ends up playing Georgia again for the national title, and it's probably going to happen again. If it does happen again the second time around, you know damn well the other conferences are going to be pushing for an expansion. Because once again, you're dealing with another issue with two teams from the same conference end up in the national title game again. And finally, we got Ohio State and Northwestern. And you know what? All Ohio State has to do for this game is just to show up. After destroying Michigan like they were supposed to, I don't see Northwestern have a chance on this game, and they just don't have the athletes to do it either. So Ohio State will probably pull this one off. Oh, that'd be hilarious as hell for them to lose. But, you know, that's how the Big Ten was built. It was built the way the conference and the divisions were built. It was that so it would benefit Ohio State or Michigan in the conference. And really, it's done nothing but hurt them more than anything else. I mean, the playoffs have helped. I mean, Ohio State, to some degree, Ohio State did win a national title the one season, but now, not so much. Because, once again, Ohio State, Michigan loses that rivalry game, and now no teams are in the playoffs. Or being, let alone considered. But I also retweeted a link for the Mike Haywood era at Texas Southern. I would recommend to check it out. I mean, it's just a little 12-minute clip that Mike Prince does, and he talks about, you know, what happened there. Pretty much is that, you know, Mike Haywood went into a really bad situation at Texas Southern, and it's just things are bad there, and things never got better there for Haywood at Texas Southern. And the team never got better. And not to mention in their final game against Prairie View A&M. And, you know, Prairie View A&M is, Texas Southern is in Houston. Prairie View A&M is just outside of Houston. Down 290, I believe. It's in Waldorf County, where is Texas Southern's in Harris County. This is obviously a big rivalry game, and of course, the rivalry it goes outside the college campuses. The rivalry trickles into the offices because there's plenty of Texas Southern, Prairie View, A&M alums working in this city. So this is a big deal. And so when you get trounced by your rival, then that's what happens. You lose your job, and that's what happened with Mike Haywood. As we know, that's what happened to Dave Wannstedt when Mike Haywood took over for him briefly. Pitt was contending for Big East title, despite, how things went. They were preseason favorites to win. They got off to a bad start, but still, they were contention, and what happened? They faced West Virginia, and West Virginia trounced them in the second half in the front of a half-empty Heinz Field, and that pretty much sealed the fate of the Dave Wannstedt era. After that, that was it, and that's pretty much what happened to Mike Haywood here. And of course, Larry Fedora, he got fired at North Carolina. That, you know, obviously, once Mitch Trubisky graduated, that was it for him. Paul Johnson retired at Georgia Tech, which was, it was either he was going to get fired or he retired, one of the two. And he ends up retiring. And the guy obviously had a nice career over the years, and he's been coaching, he said, for 40 years, and it was time to hang it up. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. So we're going to have some new faces in the ACC, and let's hope that happens. Let's hope that, we fare well. But anyways, guys, enjoy the game this weekend. In all the games, let's hope for, let's hope the Pitt pulls one off if we're lucky. Hell to Pitt.